Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to footwork in Fed Cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are for the table. So many times we give and rhyme, cut off by hunting Mabel. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
Hello and welcome to the Radio Aryan Roundtable. Today's date is Monday, the 21st of November 2016, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Today I have with me Zyger and Juhani Karanen. How are you doing today, Zyger?
I'm doing great. It's good to be on.
It's great to have you back on again. I know you have lots of fans out there, lots of people that enjoy listening to what you have to say and reading what you have to say as well. So we're very pleased that we can get you on here every so often to do these roundtables. Juhani, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I know you've got lots of positive news for us that we're going to go into near the end of the show about the Nordic resistance movement. And Zyger, I believe you've got a piece on... science showing that calling people racist just doesn't work. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. I think first off, I've got a presentation for people, which is on this new Oxford Dictionary Word of the Year, post-truth, and also this fake news or false news that we keep hearing about that the mainstream media is trying to claim applies to us. In fact, they're trying to claim that both of these terms apply to us. However, when you look at the official journalists' guidelines and their code of conduct, you can see that they're actually giving instructions to journalists to deceive the public as far as we are concerned. And it's the establishment's lies which have led to us calling this the post-truth era. And I'm going to try and show that by going to the source of these lies in the journalists' journals' guidelines. So we'll look at the Jude and Press regulations, and then we'll look at the definition of the word post-truth. And I was sent the link to these regulations by Nat4UK, who I think deserves a mention because he is quite useful in finding sources like this. He finds quite a few of them for me. And looking at the introduction of this, this is the National Union of Journalists guidelines. In their introduction, they say, there is an international network of far-right organisations with a record of attacks on journalists, and the union offers guidance and support for journalists reporting on them. Now, I can't recall ever hearing of a physical attack against a journalist by a nationalist, so this can only be referring to criticism of lefty journalists for producing such biased crap, basically. And then it says, the National Union of Journalists has a long and proud history of championing ethical journalism. We condemn attacks on NUJ members when they have been targeted by the far right because of their work. Now, if you listen to the language there, using attack and targeted in the same sentence, which leaves readers with the impression that these journalists are being shot at by the far right. They don't actually define what they class as being far right either. So I guess it's just a term that they use for anyone who is white that disagrees with cultural Marxism and bias against whites. The next part of the introduction says, as journalists, we have a responsibility to hold people to account, and our job is to scrutinise issues that are in the public interest. Yet any white person who does the same, who feels a sense of responsibility to his race and nation, and scrutinises what these journalists are saying, somehow that is not in the public interest. The next bit, it says, the NUJ encourages its members to expose the far right to public scrutiny and challenge their claims. Well, they tell their members to scrutinise and challenge our claims, yet the next part makes it very clear that any of our views that include highlighting anything negative about the people invading us must be censored and banned. And this translates into no genuine public scrutiny and no real challenges to our claims. They simply don't tell people what our claims are. And this is particularly relevant to what we say about the Holler hoax. I would love to be publicly challenged on my views. I'm sure you two would as well. But they know full well that they would lose if they did that, and they would be made to look like fools. So they try to use these sort of statements to make it seem like they're producing fair and balanced reporting, when what they're really doing is silencing us and pretending that they haven't heard what we have to say. And when you look at the actual guidelines, it says this is the NUJ's guidelines for reporting racist organisations. Do not sensationalise by reports, photographs, film or presentation the activities of racist organisations. So what they're saying there is don't make any reports, don't show any photographs, don't make any film of any of these quote-unquote racist organisations. So it's basically a press blackout on us. And then it says, seek to publish or broadcast material exposing the myths and lies of racist organisations and their antisocial behaviour. But since they're not actually allowed to report on what we do say, this means they have to make up some lies instead and then debunk them. It says, do not allow the letters column or phone-in programs to be used to spread racial hatred in whatever guise. Now, I think it's only a matter of time before they'll no longer be able to keep us from the phone lines and from the TV audiences. We've already taken over the comment sections pretty much completely, with 9 out of 10 comments on mainstream media sites now reading the same as the Daily Stormer comment section. It says, publications and media organisations should not originate material which encourages discrimination on the grounds of race or colour, as expressed in the NUJ's rulebook and code of conduct. And what that is basically saying is that any reporting on crimes carried out by minorities is forbidden, as it will cause people to avoid those minorities. Then we get to their actual code of conduct, and that says, a journalist strives to ensure that information disseminated is honestly conveyed, accurate, and differentiates between fact and opinion. Now, that sounds fair until you hear the next one. And the next one says, a journalist produces no material likely to lead to hatred or discrimination on the grounds of a person's age, gender, race, colour, creed, legal status, disability, marital status, or sexual orientation. So what that's saying is that anyone, well, what anyone not understanding quite what that means will think that it means no journalist should repeat material saying go out and violently attack minorities. But what it really means is no reporting on anything at all that makes minorities look bad. So any reporting where the criminal is black and the victim is white is automatically banned by them as it breaks their guidelines. Facts about black IQ and crime rates or about the number of Jews in banking, government and the media are all forbidden, according to the NUJ, as they are likely to cause hatred or discrimination. So this is what is really meant by this new adjective, post-truth. Now, this term is the Oxford Dictionary's new word of the year, and already the government are wondering what it means. They know that it sounds bad, and I heard them talking about it in Prime Minister's Questions this week in the Houses of Parliament. And I just hope that they realise that it's their own odious speech crime laws that have led up to it. And we live in a world where truth and facts no longer count in a court of law if a minority feels that it has been insulted. It was even said at the great Holocaust trial of Ernst Zundel in Canada that the truth is no defence as far as Holocaust denial is concerned. So the exact definition of post-truth is this, quote, relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. Kasper Grathvoll, Oxford Dictionary's president, has cited the rise of social media as a news source and a growing distrust of facts offered up by the establishment, particularly in the context of the EU referendum in the United Kingdom and the presidential election in the United States, as having led to a spike in the use of this word. And the dictionary publisher said in a video explaining its selection that post-truth will likely have a long shelf life because it describes a general characteristic of our age. Well, I would say it's not just a general characteristic. Multicultural countries cannot survive without a stream of constant lies being told by the media. I think this word's entrance into the English language shows a final recognition of what has really been going on. The race hate laws and the media guidelines are all based around lying to us and preventing us from speaking the truth, and the general public have finally woken up to this. And this is why we have seen Brexit and the election of Trump this year. Now, I think this is an incredibly positive sign that this word has been made Word of the Year, but we have to make certain that people know exactly what it is referring to. And once it becomes known exactly what has caused these lies to be told, they will have no choice but to repeal those laws and change all these guidelines. Otherwise, they're just going to look stupid, basically. So, Zyga, what are your views on this post-truth and these journalistic guidelines?
Well, I think it's interesting that they were saying that, you know, they can't, we're not going to be able to keep them away from, you know, television shows and call-in programs and all this. And you were saying, though, they won't be able to keep us forever. I kind of disagree in a sense that they probably can keep us away from them. But what seems to be happening now is that those television shows and those call-in programs are becoming less and less relevant each year. Like, their ratings are going down very fast. Television programs are like, or television stations are going bankrupt because nobody's watching them anymore. So they can't make advertising money. Everyone's moving to social media for their news and entertainment and like YouTube and things like that. So in a sense, all of this corruption and lies by the media is defeating them because nobody trusts them anymore. Now, I don't think that the average man understands the extent and the reason why they're being lied to like this, but I think they can feel it. And that feeling is intensifying as time goes on because, you know, the bald-faced nature of those lies is becoming more and more obvious. I think the Trump election in the United States and Brexit in the UK dealt a very grave blow to the credibility of the media in that sense. People, they're getting fed up. They're not interested in being lied to and manipulated anymore. And I guess this ties into what we're going to talk about with my subject. But basically, the manipulation used to be subtle and clever, but now it's become